Blog Talk Radio.
They are rising in armies of the Most High.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Truly Pastor C in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes,
we will rejoice and be glad in.
Amen.
I'd like to say good evening to my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing?
I am truly blessed.
It's your birthday this month.
I sure did.
Amen. Thank God for a birthday girl and good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
We're blessed.
We're excited about the anniversary coming up
yeah.
this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
we have
good.
A great
yeah.
fellowship
good.
All day long, and
yeah.
We're just excited, looking forward to it. I know you all are excited. It's something special when you see God bring you through another year.
Amen.
Through all the ups
amen.
And all the downs.
Amen.
Amen. God remains faithful, and so we're going to study about this faithful God. So let us get into the word. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We are still studying the book of Matthew, and you know, some people say, you guys are still in Matthew. It's like, yeah, we're still in Matthew, and we're still talking about Jesus. Is that okay?
Amen.
That's all right. That's how you digest.
Amen. Amen. See, I think sometimes, Dr. G., they want to go to those new shows like on TV,
uh-huh.
you know, the shows. But Sheila G., some of the best shows are the ones that are in syndication.
That's right.
You know, where it's old, where they keep playing it,
yeah.
and you love them because
yeah.
they were good shows.
Good shows.
You know what I'm saying? Bible is the best show.
All right.
Amen.
Right,
amen. And it's still in syndication. Amen.
And wherever you read, you can relate it to death.
Right. That's why there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
So it's like when you read this and you read these stories, especially during the Easter and the Lenten season,
mm-hmm.
it's just good to go back and revisit those times and see exactly what God did. I know we had our sunrise service. It's just powerful
yeah.
to be able to see that so many things were going on that came to fruition and how Christ was risen.
Right.
And because he lives.
Amen.
Yeah, all right.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more again.
Right.
Because he lives. Amen. We can face tomorrow, the next day, or any other day. And we just have to have a continual relationship with him through his word and the fellowship with his people. And so on last week, and we were talking about that mean word fear, and how fear was something that we needed to understand that God has given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, and that we shouldn't fear what man can do to us, but we should fear the one who can do something to the body and the soul.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And that was back in verse 28, Matthew 28, and said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear that which is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell." And then he goes on and he talks about the sparrows and the number on our heads. And then in verse 32, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." Mm-hmm. So there's this thing of when you get to a point where you are, I would say, in a place where you know God for yourself, and no matter what someone tries to do to convince you that there is no God or that God's not in it, you're not gonna get moved anymore.
No.
There was a time you might have been shaky, like, "Oh yeah, well maybe." It's like, even though I can't see it, even though I can't feel it, even though I don't understand it, I still know God is got my back.
Right.
Amen.
And so God is looking for those people that have that faith that says that in spite of what's going on, I still know God and I'm on the Lord's side.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if we relate that back to all of those prophets that came, all of those men that came, God, men of God that came, they got to a point where they said, "Well, I'm sticking with God."
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's on the Lord's side?
Right.
You know, and choose you this day.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to stay. I'm going to be on God's side, and you're not going to sway me. And so when God said, you know, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father.
Amen. All right. Amen.
But if you don't confess me before men, I can't confess you before my Father.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, in other words, whose side are you on?
That's all right. Right.
You know, a lot of times we get wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
We get around a crowd,
yeah,
and that old peer pressure comes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
The peer pressure comes.
Uh-huh.
And we want to look around and we want to be cool with the, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know that teenage thing where you want to be cool with everybody. You knew
fit
it was
in.
Wrong.
You fit in.
And you want to fit in. And everybody was drinking a certain type of drink. You had to drink it. Everybody was smoking a certain type of smoke. You smoking. Everybody was wearing a certain type of bell bottom.
Yes.
Am I dating myself?
Yes.
Certain type of bell bottom.
Come on.
Did the bell bottoms make a comeback? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They came back once, and then they went back out. Then they went back out.
Yeah.
Now they did.
In my lifetime, it's appeared about 3 times.
And now they got folk walking around in skinny jeans.
Hello. Again.
Remember the song Skin Tight?
Yeah. Ohio Players.
That's coming back.
Ohio Players was bad.
Ohio Players, so.
But it's like everybody wanted to fit in, you know,
right.
and some people can't wear skinny jeans.
They tried though. Should we say shouldn't?
Come on, can't.
They wear them anyway. But they want to fit in.
Yeah, but you gotta be with God. You can't be wishy washy with
right.
God.
Right.
So like some of these politicians that are running for office.
Yeah.
Hello.
They'll say one thing, if it, I lied to you
That's
and
right.
told you that, and then I'm over here and I lied to you. It's like flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't flip-flop with God.
Right, right.
And when he says that, this has implications of come judgment day when you're standing before God.
That's right. I'm not going to know you.
And Jesus has got to verify you with his blood.
Right.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, you stand. Everybody gonna stand for themselves.
That's
you're not
right.
gonna stand for me.
No.
I'm not gonna stand
right.
for you.
Right.
Your grandmama not gonna stand
That's
for you.
Right.
Your granddaddy not gonna stand for you. Everybody gonna have to stand and give an account what they did in this body,
Amen.
Whether good or bad.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
And then Jesus is going to say, yeah, he's good, or no.
Nope.
Depart from me.
Depart from me.
But look what it says in verse 32.
Mm-hmm.
It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven, right? But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
You can't be undercover.
So it's like there's no gray area.
Nope.
It's either you with him or you're
not. That's right.
And you know, some people what's the term where they want to play both sides of the fence?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be in the club on Saturday night.
Hello.
But in worship on Sunday morning.
Come on. Amen.
Playing both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So on Saturday night, you know, I'm the player.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then on Sunday morning I'm the preacher.
You're the
Come
praiser.
On.
Or the braver. you see what I'm saying? But you know, we can't have it both ways.
Right. You know, it's funny that you said that, cause, a perfect example of that was today. Jessica was on Capitol Hill to speak for Children's Miracle Network because all the credit unions were having a run.
Mm-hmm.
And when she stood up to speak, and there were like congressional workers, there were from the credit union, all different kind of faith, religion, everything. And the first thing she said was she told about her condition, but she said, but I believe in God. And God blessed me with great doctors. I was just in the hospital.
There you go.
And I was through the pain, even though I was praying through it and everything. She was so natural about it.
Right.
And said that she realized that she had to go through what she had to go through because God has a mission for her to tell the story.
Yeah.
And so she was just bold with it. Afterwards, all the women was coming up, taking pictures
mm-hmm.
with her. Thing, and the Children's Miracle Network director was like, she's like a celebrity. I said, but she was not pointing to herself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She was pointing up to God for giving her great doctors, great hospitals,
right.
Thanking the people for
awesome.
Doing this run to raise money for the hospital. And that's exactly what he's
mm-hmm.
saying. No matter what environment you're in, if you're the youngest, it's a mixed company, you have to have that boldness as if you're sitting right there in that church.
Yeah. And a lot of times, Dr. G, we are always told that our character is measured by not what we do in the open, but what we don't do behind closed doors when nobody else is looking.
Right.
That's where your character is. Are you doing the right thing when you're not in the church? Sir?
Right, amen. Exactly.
Amen. Well, you know, that's true because, you know, we try to share with folks. It's not so much what you say, but people are looking at what you do. And, you know, I've shared with folk in the church that, you know, as a preacher, one that's been in this journey for a while,
mm-hmm.
I've learned that I have to be careful what I'm doing outside because folk have come up to me some of the darndest places. I could be sitting
mm-hmm.
in my car in front of Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you Pastor Gregory? you know, and I said, now, suppose.
You sitting in the car smoking a blunt.
Or either had another woman
in my car.
Who wasn't my wife. So, you know, you have to be bold, but you have to be careful, you know, what you do outside. And I think Jessica is a perfect example that it could ever get that kind of boldness
mm-hmm.
as Christians that, you know, we're not so much concerned with what people might say. Yeah, they're going to talk about us, but you've got to look back over your life and take a look at what God has done for you in your life to get
yeah.
you where you are.
And that... Let's drill down into that word confess.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about confess, in other words, it's not so much, well, it's a combination of your confession is with your mouth and your confession is with your life. You know, some people will confess with just lip service.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when what God says in order for you to be saved, he says you have to believe it in your heart.
Right.
And what? Confess it
with
your
mouth.
In other words, there's a thing where it's not just lip service.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so when we drill down into this confession, we have to understand that it just can't be a religious thing that we do.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes people just say, praise the Lord, and they don't even know
no,
the Lord.
Nope.
Praise the Lord. Or
and
thank
no
you,
me.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Or talk about God 100 miles an hour about God this, God that.
Uh-huh.
And you're wondering, well, from your life, what God are you talking about?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You talking about the little G?
Yeah, or
Hello.
The big
G. Or the big G.
Mm-hmm.
And so our confession, our walk has to... Our, kind of with our talk.
All right.
And so this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm going to confess. If you confess me, what I'm saying is Jesus is looking at our walk and seeing if our walk is lining up with our talk. And so it's so important for us to understand that this is not just a religion, but it's a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of life.
Right. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges is making it a way of life and not just a Sunday thing. You know, a lot of times people feel like they made their little deposit. I sat in church for a couple of hours. So now the rest of the time is for me.
Mm-hmm.
And not realizing that if I could, I'd give him all my time. I'm taking him first. Thank you, Lord, for being the pilot and allowing me to be the co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I do, every step I make, I'm going to be the ambassador because I want you to see in me.
Right.
Versus me just putting a little deposit, being selfish so I can get a blessing back.
Yeah,
it's
all the wrong reasons.
I want to give God the glory. And it's best seen by the way that I act, not so much what I say.
Right. And go ahead.
Well, you know, and that's where faith comes in. It, you know, depending on how much faith you have,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be shown through your lifestyle.
And I think a lot of times people will, I would say, kind of scapegoat it as the Lord
mm-hmm.
knows my heart.
Famous saying.
But that's scary because the Lord
does
know
your heart.
I believe in the book of Jeremiah, he said he knows the heart is desperately wicked
mm-hmm.
before above everything else. And so God does know our heart, and we can't just use that for every time we try to, you know, do it both ways. Well, I'm going to have it this way, or I'm not going to have it this way. But that confession is so important because this places us in the place where we're going to be judged by God. Because he said, my Father, which is in heaven. And so Jesus is our advocate. He's the one that's working on our behalf. He's the one that's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And so when we stand before God, if you ever seen the courtroom scene, and we're sitting there as a defendant, and Jesus is the one that is defending us before God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be able to allow him to make a case for us.
Amen.
Yeah.
But if he can't make a case, he's like, well,
I can't help you.
I can't make a case because, you know, your confession didn't line up with your walk.
Right.
And so I don't think people's mind, if you can imagine, if you go into your spiritual imagination, what would your, and maybe we'll ask this at the end of the show, what would your case look like when you stood before God?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of us are pleading grace
Amen.
And mercy.
Amen.
But what would our case look like if we stood before God? Could Jesus come and say, yeah, they're good. I confess you, Dad, they're good.
That's something you have to do every day because you don't know when that's going to happen. That's why Romans 12 is one of my favorites. It says you have to renew your mind
mm-hmm.
because it's not just enough that you went to school every day. It's not just enough that you got ordained 20 years ago. You have to be in this word
Ooh.
Every day.
You mean when I got my license
yes.
80 years
yes.
ago?
Yes, and then all
I still
of a sudden
got
you
to
feel like
renew
you don't
my mind.
God's word anymore.
Ooh.
That is not true. You have to every day get in this word and read it because all of a sudden, if you get out of that habit, the devil's like, come on,
mm-hmm.
you got enough.
You did
your time. You're gonna.
Yeah, you got ordained.
You got ordained.
You did your trial, sir,
man. You take time preaching that,
yeah.
So you good. No, you got to be in that word. You got to be studying every day because every day you have to constantly renew your mind because those things are going to keep coming up. And you got to know that God is going to provide you a way out. If you don't keep reading and saying, okay, that Lordship, then I won't be tempted more than I can bear without him. But he will, even in my temptation,
mm-hmm.
provide me a way out. But if I don't study you every day,
right.
those things that maybe I knew 20 years ago,
yeah.
but if I'm not living it and renewing it every day, I'm going to fall right back in that same trap. And then you're going to think because you did it and you got a door ordained.
It ain't, it's not good.
You're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, come on. I'm going to say, where were you?
And and that's where, Dr. G, our rewards start getting diminished.
Amen.
So you can be saved.
That's right.
Well, what's going to be your reward?
Amen.
You're going to stand before God, and God's going to take everything that wasn't done for him
Amen.
And burn it up.
Okay.
So What are we going to be left with? He said, the only things that you do for Christ will what?
Last.
Will last, right? So all the other stuff, amen, it's going to be gone. So in our spiritual imagination, I'm standing before God. Jesus is my advocate. What's my case looking like? And what I'm going to be left with?
Very good.
You
know, I was sitting there thinking because I preached a message. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence
to convict you?
Conviction? And it's something to think about. But you know, the sad part about it is most folk, how can I put it? I don't think they have any spiritual imagination. So
okay.
They definitely don't use it.
Okay.
But they, you know, they're acting and moving. It's only about today in the flesh. They don't think about the spiritual until they get in trouble.
But Sheila G, I mean, this is Jesus actually saying, "There's going to come a time where I'm going to have to vouch for you."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of our righteousness in the sight of God is filthy rags.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we don't have one plea.
We
don't stand a chance. Until we covered in his blood and take on his righteousness, we don't have a plea.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to understand that I'm dependent on Jesus.
That's right.
To present my case.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have nothing to give to him as confessing and living a life that's worthy of him, then it's going to be, is there be no, he said, I can't present you. I can't confess you in front of my Father.
And that's where faith comes in, because we have to trust it. We have to not trust ourselves. I think too often we put our trust in how we feel and
yeah.
our emotions and what we think instead of just walking completely by faith,
mm-hmm.
realizing that we're not sure which direction we're going in or why we're going in that direction.
Right.
But if we trust him and if he sees that we trust him, then that makes our case stronger. But we have little faith, we have little victory, and it gives us a very small case. We
right.
have to allow that faith in him to grow through every situation in life when it's good and when it's bad.
And then this brings us to the trick of the enemy that we can see inside of this part of the scripture is where our faith gets tested because we are by nature people pleasers.
Our natural nature.
Our natural nature
is
to please man.
Mm-hmm.
And to not feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And so when the peer pressure comes, we want to be seen cool. Anybody ever wanted to be cool in front of your friends? We want to be cool even though we know mama told us not to
I
do that.
That.
Hello.
Or daddy told us not to do it, but it wasn't cool to go. You remember when we used to have to come inside?
That's right.
When the street light
when
came on.
Right.
And
everybody else was still out.
And everybody mm-hmm. still out. Since the beginning of the school year,
yeah.
it's still daylight
it's still
outside.
Daylight outside.
Y'all got to go back in the house. Right. But we shop in school, and they like this. We getting A's and B's. They getting D's and F's and failures because
yeah.
they sleep. But because we couldn't because we a butt beat.
Thank you.
Right. So
thank
we had no choice.
We had to go, but the enemy will use that peer pressure and our natural desire to want to be people pleasers
mm-hmm.
to get us to not walk in faith. And so this is where Jesus, he really, oh my gosh, he shifts gears right here in verse 34. He says, think not that I am come to what? Send peace on earth. He say, I came not to send peace, but what?
A sword.
So in other words, he's coming to break up all this people pleasing stuff.
Now.
Right.
Come on.
He's like I'm coming to run down the law to say either you're with me or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way you get saved. If you don't come this way, then you're gonna be lost. You're not gonna be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm coming to put a sword in families and in all the cliques and all those things. He said, I'm not coming to bring peace, but I'm coming to be to address that 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Mm. Come on.
Of salvation.
Amen.
Right.
And families can talk, be nice, and sit down at Christmas and sing, you know, all the songs and stuff and eat. But deep down inside, you know so-and-so ain't saved.
Come on.
And what are you doing?
Come on.
Are you trying to encourage that person?
Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Are you
Amen.
Leading the right life before them?
Amen.
That's one of the best ways to do it.
Right.
Not necessarily to beat someone over the head.
No, but to live
but
it.
To live it. Live that life.
But nobody wants to adjust the 800-pound gorilla in the room, salvation.
Right.
Everybody wants to tiptoe around it. But God said, I'm coming to say, you saved and you not saved. This is how you get saved.
Amen.
That's why we're saying that road is narrow.
And it's narrow. And he said, I'm coming to send a sword. And, what did he say in verse 35? He said, for I am come to what? Set a man, what? Advance against his what? Father. And the what? Daughter against her what? Mother. And the daughter-in-law against what? Her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own what? Household.
Least attempt to try to save those in our household.
Amen. It should be uncomfortable for the unsaved in our house.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There should be an uneasiness for the unsaved to live in our house.
Amen.
They should feel uncomfortable because you're living a life of Christ before them, and they should be able to see the God in you, and that should trouble them.
Yeah. Just like with troubles when we're teenagers.
Yeah.
That's why kids sneak out and do stuff,
right.
Especially when your parents are saved, because you know you're not supposed to do it.
Right.
So you want to sneak out and do it behind, but somehow they still find out.
Find out anyhow. What's in dark going to come to light.
And eventually come to light because you are uncomfortable. You're not going to be bold enough to do that stuff in your own parents' house because you know that they've taught you right from wrong. And that's the same way it is with God. It's
exactly.
Like, I want you to be portrayed in every aspect of your life so that either people around you will be right or they got to go.
Can I meddle a little bit, Dr. G?
Go ahead.
Dr. G, when we was sliding in and out of the church, and we knew we had messed up on the weekend. And you come in on Sunday.
All right.
And the preacher seemed like he was preaching to
everybody. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
How you know? And you feel so uncomfortable. And sometimes when I'm preaching, I like some people, they're usually looking up. And when you start preaching, they got their head down. It's like, that's all in my business.
That's how it was when I came home from college. It used to be so uncomfortable to go to church. And there was one of my mother was sick. And I went to the hospital to see her. Remember, she had a gallbladder surgery, and Dad was out of the country. And we went to the hospital. And at that time, Reverend Gregory was Reverend Gregory. I didn't even look at him that way. And he and Pastor White happened to be coming down that same day that I was there. I was like, oh, now they're going to expect me to go to church.
Can't go to the party.
And they said, we're going to see you in church tomorrow. I was like,
So
the next day, of course, I woke up and I was like, I'm not going to go. But I was bothered all day. That thing hung on me. I didn't go. But I was like, if I'm up in Pennsylvania, I wouldn't be going. Why I got to go? Because I came home to see my mother.
Right.
But I was uncomfortable. And I was uncomfortable that whole day.
Yeah.
Because they did actually say, it wasn't like pushing me, but they said,
we'll see you. It'd be good to see you in church tomorrow.
Yeah, it was one of those.
Good to see you in service.
Good to see you in service tomorrow since you're in town. I was like, okay. And then I called myself being sick and not going, but I was uncomfortable.
Right.
Lying your butt off.
It doesn't matter.
You're still lying. But that's the way sin will do us, though, you know, and it will. Because the Lord will make you uncomfortable. And folk who know, you know, and the preacher don't know what you've been in.
No, they really
you know,
don't.
But God gives him what he needs to be said. So he's going to preach the word.
And when the word comes out and it comes to cause that uncomfort, so you'll be so uncomfortable that there's a scripture that said, I yield. What must I do to be saved? In other words, I'm so uncomfortable being unsaved. What do I have to do to be saved?
That's
because
right.
The gospel is such a powerful message that it cuts everything back. It's like a sword. It just lets you know that this is where you are. It's like the gospel, the Old Testament is like a school teacher that came and it presented you the law. And it showed you how perfect God's law was, and it was supposed to teach you that
this is God's standard, and where do you stand in it? And it was like a schoolmaster, oh my gosh, I've fallen so short.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even come close to this.
Amen.
But before the law was, nobody knew how bad they were.
Come
right.
on.
So God gave the law and said, well, this is my standard. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm in terrible shape.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I'm in terrible shape. I can't get there. I need God to help me get there. So this is what the gospel is coming to say, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and you can't get there without God. And
mm-hmm.
so it's come to tell us that we need God. But it first has to tell you, you're so ugly in sin that you need God to get you out of there. But a lot of times people don't realize they're ugly,
yeah.
and then some people get indignant and say, well, I ain't as ugly as him.
Come on.
Or I ain't ugly as her.
Right.
I don't need salvation.
Right.
They more ugly than me. But it's coming to say that all sin is ugly and
right.
you need God. And so it's hard for somebody to tell you ugly. You just flat out ugly. What? And then fighting words. And so in verse 37, here it comes. He says, now we can't sugarcoat it. And a lot of times we want to sugarcoat it. Baby, you're going to be all right. How many times we see little Ray Ray and them or Buki and them shoot somebody.
Baby.
And then their mama come out in the street. He's a good boy. He's a joker. Bad as.
Amen.
And they saw it
Amen.
Coming, but they kept easing it over.
Mm-hmm. Bad as I don't know what.
And didn't want to stand up to that child.
And tell Buki, you're going to hell.
Be quiet.
If you don't straighten up,
Amen.
You're going to hell. You need to straighten up, Buki.
So then you wait till they're 12 to try to, and that's not going to work.
You don't want to hurt the feeling.
Right. What's up
friend.
With that?
We don't want to, be their friend, and each generation has gotten worse. Because, rather than do what the word teaches, we want to be their friends. We try that timeout stuff. Timeout is good to a point. But then when they keep on doing the same old stuff, it's time to get that belt and go to whipping.
That's a tat. Don't spare that rod.
Mm-hmm.
So look what he says in verse 37. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is, this is
not
serious
worthy.
Stuff. Jesus wasn't pulling any punches.
Mm-mm.
He says, is what? Not worthy of me. Let's just put a pause there and have a moment of silence right there.
Mm.
Not worthy of me, Paul. If you love your mother or your father more than, what is that?
Me. More than me.
He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Come on.
And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not what?
Worthy
of me. Now, this is serious stuff where it's like you have to love God more than you want to be friends with your son or partners with your mother or father, because ultimately their salvation is more important than y'all just having a little friendship.
Okay.
So you have to be willing to put a friendship or your relationship online to cause them some discomfort so that they can be saved.
Right. Because people are manipulative. And that child can give you that look, that blink, that cry,
puppy
that
dog.
Child, that puppy dog, or I'm dying, and then you'll give in to it. I used to tell my kids, okay, we're getting ready to go in the store, and whatever question you ask, the answer is no. And I always did that because I knew as soon as they got in the store,
Mom,
I want to have this. I said, what did I tell you before we came here? The answer is no. And that's because we're in our natural state, we're manipulators. But if we put God first,
mm-hmm.
God will give us the vision. God will give us the eyesight that we need so that we can receive the love of God. And then we
right.
can love our child the way we need to love them, which sometimes loving your child is making that
tough.
Child uncomfortable.
Tough.
It's called tough love.
Amen.
And what is it, Dr. G, that we don't want to use that tough love?
Mm-mm. Well, we live in a day and time now that especially, when I share with my kids, how I grew up and what my parents, especially my mom, did, they laugh. But when I did it to mine, now they understand because they've gotten older. But when they were coming up, they couldn't understand
mm-hmm.
it. But now that they've gotten older and have their own
mm-hmm.
kids,
mm-hmm. Oh, now I get it.
That's when they get it. And that thing that we used to share, you know, I'm doing this because I love you, okay? You know, I used to tell people, I wish my mama didn't love me so much.
Yeah, exactly.
But tough love is true love.
It is.
It is.
Tough love is, I'm going to hurt your feelings so you won't destroy your life.
Exactly. And this is what this, in essence, this is what this is saying. It's saying there's nothing wrong with the relationship with mothers, fathers, fathers,
right.
and daughters. We're not saying that
right.
you can't have a relationship. That's a perfect relationship to have love for your family
first.
Members.
But put God first.
But you won't properly love your family members
right.
if you don't have the proper relationship with God.
Amen.
It's sort of like you can't have a proper relationship with your husband or your wife
if you
don't have the proper relationship with God because you don't know how to love them.
That's
you
right.
can't love her or him properly
right.
if you don't have the love of God, that relationship with God, because God has a love for you that loves you in spite of mm-hmm. you. And so when that husband or wife is not lovely at the time, amen, somebody.
Amen,
somebody. Amen, amen. That you still can see God in them, love
right.
them in spite of what's going on. But if you don't ever had that relationship with God, with your children, with your husband, your wife,
right.
you don't have that proper relationship with your spouse or with your children.
Or any other relationship.
Right.
Because God's love is unconditional.
Right.
So it's not dependent on, if you do this to make me happy, then I'll love you. It's not. God's love is unconditional. And once you learn that relationship, then your love can be unconditional as well. And unconditional love does not always make it happy.
No.
Because sometimes God will not allow you to have something.
Wow.
Right.
Because he loves you and he knows that if you have it, it will destroy you. But
right.
because we don't see it that way, we don't understand that. But when we get and learn to get God's unconditional love, then we can have that unconditional love for others, meaning even if I make you uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
even if I make you sad,
right.
even if for this moment you're my husband, I love you, but you need to go over there, I can still
right.
have that love.
Right.
Because I've learned that and I received that love from Christ. So I'm not dependent on
mm-hmm.
another person. I'm dependent on God.
God, there
and
you go.
And that is the key. And that's where so many of our young ladies fall short.
Right.
They want that. They want to have that loving feeling from a man who is
incapable. Right.
Is not capable of doing that. And that's why we have to be right. evenly yoked. Because
Amen.
God is the only one that will give us that unconditional love. He is not going to lead us.
Amen. That is so true. But you really have to develop a relationship with God. And then once you develop that, then it's like, you know, yeah, you're my husband. Yeah, you're my kids. Yeah, we're in a relationship. But I'm going to put God first because I know this is the right way. And if I behave in a manner where God is first, then you can see the example, then you can learn
right.
To put God first. But, you know, we got to make sure that we're saying, hey, you know, you're you and you're you and I love you, but I'm not going to lower my standard,
right.
amen, to please you and not please God.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
What
I can't,
saying.
I'm not going to lower my standard. Mm-hmm. We good.
Wish you were.
But if you want to go over there, I'm not going over there.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
When somebody say, don't go there. No, I'm not going there.
I'm not going there.
I'm not going. You can go over there if you want. You know, I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not going there. So when I stand before God, he's not going to say, why'd you go there?
Well, I was following the love of my
life. Yeah, my love, my bookie went so on. So look what happened to Adam. Right? Oh, Eve, boy. Oh, Eve told him, you know you want to go to here. He said, what did he say? You know you want to go to here. Yeah. Right. And he went on to here. Follow behind him.
And look what happened.
And look what happened.
He didn't follow God's direction.
Amen.
And he had the direction. The Lord gave it to him.
But Eve looked good.
Come on.
She looked good. Brother Brandon, she looked good.
That still gets man in trouble today.
She the first woman out there. You know, she was smoking.
Smoking.
Amen.
This
Amen.
Is, well, God's fault. He should have given him somebody that wasn't smoking. Then I wouldn't have done it, Lord, but you made it just look too good.
Right, right, right. So he wasn't even hearing her. He was just looking at her when he was eating the fruit. He was like, oh, yeah, right, okay, whatever, eating. Got himself in trouble. But
Amen.
Amen.
But God's love is true love. Trust everything, you know, and love. Sometimes you still have to develop that trust. But
right.
when God gives you his love and you have his love, you don't feel like you constantly need to prove it or he needs to prove it because he's not, which he doesn't have that sinful nature.
Right.
Whereas man has sinful nature. So you want to put his love first.
Amen. Right.
And so here's God. He said, all right, now I'm giving you this love. I'm telling you that I should be first. And, you know, a lot of people know that. And now he's saying, okay, what are you practicing?
Mm.
And he says, all right, in this next verse, he says, everybody has a responsibility. And that's tight. Because there's a lot of people who know God's word and know God's love and accept God's love, but they're not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
They call them bench warmer.
Hello.
Sitting on the bench. And what happens is, longer you sit on the bench, you find it easier to complain.
Amen.
Yeah.
About anything and everybody.
Amen.
Out somebody out.
Amen.
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 If you're not working, amen, you feel it easy to complain.
Mm.
Amen. About somebody, amen, that's not working. Amen.
Amen.
So what God said, God, he was serious. He didn't pull any punches in these last six words. In verse 37, and now this is where everybody can either draw up your toes. 38. In verse 38, he says, and he that taketh not his what?
Cross
and follow after me is what? Not
worthy
of
me.
There it is again. How many times did he say not worthy? Three times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not worthy of me. In other words, I've given you, Christ saying, I've given you everything, right? But you want to go over there, you want to do over here, and you don't want to do what I told you to do. But everybody has a cross to bear.
Amen. Right.
Too many Christian folk walking around. Amen. With no cross.
They say obedience is better than sacrifice.
Matter of fact, they want to preach to everybody's cross.
Come on. Say
oh, boy.
Ouch.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pastor should have did this. The pastor should have did that. The deacon should have did this. Mm-hmm. They should have did that. Should have did that. But what have you done?
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Well, we should have had this, and they should have had this, and it. But when was the last time you got off of your behind?
Come on. Come on.
And committed to what?
Anything.
Handing out a program.
Amen.
Amen.
On a regular basis.
Amen.
Not on the, well, it's,
feel like.
It's the third Sunday,
yeah.
And I sing on the fourth Sunday, so I'll see you on the fourth Sunday.
Amen.
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 That is so true. I've been in church where you see people that just show up on the Sunday
that they sing.
That they sing. And they don't want to rehearse.
Right. Don't want to sing.
Don't
want to
rehearse.
That's everybody else.
Don't want to rehearse.
Want to be sin. They don't like the word, the C word, which is commitment.
That's the cross.
Amen.
That is the cross. Commitment. 100%, not partial commitment, not kind sort of. Not when you
Thank
feel
you.
Like it,
Thank
even when you.
You
don't feel like it. It is commitment.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to go to the jewelry store.
Come on.
And I'm going to get one to put around my neck, Dr. G. That's to take care of.
Don't
work.
Even when you don't feel like it.
That's right. And see, and the thing is, and that's, I guess, that's one of the reasons why the Lord has, you know, convinced me that, you know, I've gone after my folks. And since we've been back into the building, I've tried the light of fire up underneath folks, let them know that everybody's going to be doing something.
There you go.
Everybody's going to be sitting around here doing that. Now, if you don't want, if you want to be a part of a choir, you've got to bring your behind to rehearsal in order to sing.
Right.
If you don't want to be a part of something, fine, stay home.
Do something.
But you cannot just sit there and give lip service.
That's right.
And God said, if you don't pick your cross up, you're not worthy of me.
Amen.
In other words, you're not, and this is what's so scary. When he says it's not worthy of me, that means that we're not worthy of sacrifice.
Thank you.
That is scary. I don't know if that's scary anybody else. But God to tell you you're not worthy of my, you're not worthy of my blood. Because I've done this for you. I'm giving you the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
And this is what you show me in return. You're not worthy of it.
Amen.
And that's what he's going to tell his heavenly father is I shed my blood.
That's right.
I've given grace. And they still turn their nose up to
that
me
nose.
And say, hmm.
I got it. And I can get this. And he's given it to us because he loves us and because he knows that if we allow him to use us, we can draw others to him as well. and show them the way and show them that narrow path. But if we just get saved, put it on ourselves and sit on the back pew and do it, then we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're not carrying that cross. We're not showing commitment to him.
Amen. And this is the ultimate sacrifice. When he goes down to verse 39, he says, he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So there's a blessing in this commitment.
Right.
There's a blessing in carrying your cross.
Yeah.
What happens is it becomes less of you and more about him,
right.
And then you begin to start experiencing him, and the word of God in you becomes alive, and so now you begin to live above what you thought you were going to live.
Amen.
Because you've lost your stuff.
Right.
And the problem is when we get saved, we don't want to lose our stuff, Dr. G. We still want to carry our stuff and along with God's stuff.
Amen.
And
amen.
Sit down and say, well, do my stuff first.
Come on.
Okay. And then, wait a minute, I ain't got time. But okay, God, well, I see you on Sunday when I'm still doing my stuff.
All right.
But God, you need to lose your stuff.
Right.
Pick up my stuff in my cross. And what'll happen is you'll begin to start living a life of greater abundance above what you thought you had your stuff.
All right.
That's
all right.
Again back to that Romans 12, to be you transformed,
by
be not conformed to this world,
mm-hmm.
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you have a renewed mind that says, I don't need that stuff anymore.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to lose that stuff. I'm going to become dead to that stuff because God has something greater for me,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm living for now.
Right.
I'm not living for that anymore. I'm not living to be a man pleaser or seen by God or seen by man. I'm living to be pleasing to God. And so when he says lose your life,
mm-hmm.
you'll find it. That means when you lose it and you say, okay, now I understand that what God has for me is what's best for me, and the stuff that I thought was important is really not important to you.
Amen. And when you lose yourself correct to Christ, the way you find it, the most times you find it is when you're going through trouble. You're going through challenges, when those very darts are coming at you and you have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that's because you lost that fleshly life.
Yeah.
So you're not dependent on how you feel. You're okay that I don't feel good. I'm not happy right now, but I still have joy because I've lost me. I've lost the flesh in me. And I'm letting the Holy Spirit come through
mm-hmm.
because I know that eventually I'm going to be on the other side of this. I may be not right now, but
mm-hmm.
he already told me we've been made door for a night.
All right.
But joy is coming in the morning, and because I have lost myself, me,
right.
to the Holy Spirit, then I have found a better peace. I found
yeah.
a better me than it was before him.
A better life than the life I had.
Right. Because the message is going to be there.
Amen.
Whether you're saved or not, you're still going to be. You have to face, but you can either face it alone and be defied by it, or face it and realize that things are this cannot defeat me. You can touch my body, you can touch everything, but you will not touch my soul.
Amen.
And you can't destroy my heart.
Amen. And it's so powerful that God is saying you're not worthy of me. How do we live a life that is worthy of God's sacrifice? Think about that. What are we doing? Are we worthy? Are we just that arrogant that we think, well, he's supposed to did that? Like your kids. Like, they're supposed to be
entitlement.
Right, they going in your refrigerator, look at your refrigerator. Ain't nothing in here. Ain't nothing in here to eat.
Anything in
like, really? Okay. All right. It's cold in here.
Yeah.
It's hot in here.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Uh huh.
Really? Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You better go in there and find something to eat.
Amen.
I ain't going to get you nothing.
Come on now.
Some crackers or some tuna fish or something. The can. Something.
Yeah, right.
Put a blanket on.
Keep on
get
pushing.
You a fan.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
But it's like, think about that when he's saying not worthy of him.
Mm-hmm.
Does that scare anybody but me?
Amen. Amen.
Maybe we'll ask that question tonight. Does it bother you that or doesn't concern you that God is looking for us to be worthy of him?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the studio audience. Does it concern you that you might not be worthy of Jesus?
Ooh. That's trouble.
you know, 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, Jesus Christ. And yes, we should have that fear that we are not measuring up to what God wants us to do. And it is on our part, not God's part.
Pick it up.
And commitment to Jesus Christ, because 14:26, it coincides mm-hmm. with what you were saying, that but use a little more firmly, and that if you don't hate mother, father, and all that, mm-hmm. not hate them to the point where you hate to hate as far as flesh, but Christ got to come first, also as you got to hate your own life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't deny everything to serve God, then you're not worthy. And that is a tough thing.
It is.
But that's reality.
Tough.
And the Bible makes it very clear. And if you don't like what the Bible says, that
doesn't change the fact. My Lord.
Repeat the question one more time.
Does it concern you that God is looking for people that are worthy of it?
Me personally, it doesn't concern me, but I'm still aware of what's going on, because obviously no one wants to be put in that position. But I know we've said it before that, you know, when we're placed here on earth, God gives us the tools to be worthy,
yeah.
as far as having people in our lives, mm-hmm. Bible study, going to church, having the word to be able to take home and stay in the word. But I think the discouraging part, what people don't realize is that no one perfect. Perfect
right.
people do not get into heaven. You
right.
don't have to
right.
walk on water. You don't have to go around
right.
healing the blind, healing the sick to get into heaven. I think God just wants to see the effort and
right.
commitment
get
that
your cross,
you're
right.
getting
yeah.
better. You're yeah. trying each day. And I think sometimes as humans, we get so discouraged because we're looking at the long picture, the end of the road, as opposed to saying, you know what, this is a long journey. And the last thing I can do to discourage myself or to make myself not want to do it is to look at how long it's going to be
right.
instead of
right.
saying, you know what, I'm going to take it one day at a
one
time. Build just like building a house, one brick at a time. Don't focus on the whole picture. Just do it
yeah.
step by step. And before you know it, you'll start to realize that you are growing in Christ. But I definitely think as Christians, don't get too discouraged to think that God's saying you have to do what I do and be like I was in the Bible.
Right.
You have to be your own self. But as long as you put Christ, as you said, as
yeah.
the foundation of any and everything that you do, you'll be fine. But don't get so caught up in thinking you have to be perfect
right.
to get into heaven, or you have to follow a perfect person, but that keeps you getting better, because if
yeah.
you get to that point, you're going to stop growing. You're going to stop wanting to get better and learning. I haven't been in Christ as long
right.
as Pastor Gregory has been
right,
in Christ,
right,
but
right,
he'll
right.
tell you himself, he's still learning
definitely
and he's still getting it. So I'm
still
like, wow, you know, not calling your age out, but he's about 30, 40 years older than me. Like, if I'm discouraged now, I might as well let that go, because I have a benefit. I have a 40-year-old man who's telling me that he still doesn't know and he's in the Word. So I'm just like, you know what, then I really just want to stay humble and do what I need
exactly.
to do, because even those who I know are further along in this Christian walk than I am still need to grow and
right.
still are working. It gives me hope that, you know what, I don't have to do it all
that's
in this
right.
lifetime.
Right.
I just need to get better
Amen.
Each day.
Amen.
A long time I feared that, and that's probably why I stayed away from the church. Not because I was afraid of the church, but more that I was never going to be worthy. So
gotcha.
Why bother? You know, and it was always, well, if I don't do this, then God is not going to love me, or I'm not going to have eternal life. So for that, I might as well just go ahead and follow that.
Right.
You know, that's the
Makes
reality.
Sense. Right.
And it's like, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to, you know, be able to. But I think that if we follow what God is trying to tell us, which is put him first in all
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live and die trying, then that is where we are worthy
right.
enough for him. But when we, you know, we say, well, we're not perfect, but so you could say it out loud, but eventually you know what you're doing wrong. You know that you're messing up, but
mm-hmm.
you're like, well, God loves me anyway. And God loves us anyway, but we're not living the life that he wants us to live. We know that in our heart,
right,
and he
right.
knows that we
yeah,
know that,
right.
and he knows that. So so I think that if we genuinely repent, we pray, we put him first, I think that he will see us as worthy.
Amen. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go
to phone number 9772. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Yes,
good evening.
Good evening. I know I'm on the right track. I remember the time that I was doing wrong so many times, and I didn't know it. I knew I had a good start, but I got off the road and started doing other things. In the meantime, he gave me another chance to get back on the road and get the answer started, started on the ladder and started climbing back up and getting back on the road where I was before then. And I know that I'm doing the right thing.
Amen.
Because I'm doing much better than I was with doing a long time ago, because I don't do what I did before. And that's where I know I'm afraid that I do anything wrong, that I won't make the right road on to get to God. So I'm steady doing the right thing each day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your
Amen.
Comment tonight. That's all right. We got to know. We're going to go last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
As long as we walk in grace and ask God to keep us humble before Him, we should fear God. And when I say fear, I'm talking about reverence Him and be grateful
yeah.
for what He has done for us. So when we are not arrogant, and when we walk with humility and respect and love for God, then that's all we can do. That's all we can do is ask God to help us, because we are going to sin. We're going to come short daily. We're going to sin daily, but we have the advocate with the Father. So as long as we
that's
continue
right.
to realize that we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, then we don't need to be all that concerned about being perfect, because we're not going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
if we feel like we're perfect, then we don't need God.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to last four digits, 7971. 7971, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I have enjoyed hearing everyone's take on what God expects of us and the fear and coming before Him. They all have been excellent, and these are the things that He's expecting of us. We will never meet patience, because we live in a world of sin, and the people
yep.
that
Amen.
Are around you. And when you walk with God and you talk with God, you read His word, you try and give Him your best 24/7, because it's an all-day, everyday thing. This assures you that you're on the right track. You're staying connected.
Mm-hmm.
And humble yourself and never be too proud to say, God, did I do it right? Or, Pastor, you know I'll come to
yeah.
you and say, Pastor, did I say the right thing? Or if I said something
mm-hmm.
wrong, correct me, or I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
be always searching to do God's will and not your will. We all know
Amen.
That He loves us. We all know that He's watching us. He has His eye on you. And if you think you can out-slick Him or you can outdo Him and nobody knows, you're a fool, and His word says you're a fool. But when you search for Him and talk with Him, it gives you the comfort to know that you're doing something to please Him. And when things
Amen.
Go wrong and you see the good in Him reversed on you and He brings you out, you know He's doing something right.
Amen.
Something
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And never feel too proud to anyone to admit you're wrong or correct someone
mm-hmm.
else that you see may stray away from Him. This helps you.
Amen.
Because He's done it for you, so He's expecting you to at least try to help somebody else. That's right. That question mark is always going to be there because you know he loves you, but you know you're not perfect, and you know you got to walk that straight and narrow to meet his expectations. And this is not easy. So you have to think about it and pray and ask, tell him that, God, I want to be like you. I want to please you, Lord. And that's what counts. And it's spelled out so clearly in his word. If you read it every day, and if you meditate, and if you stay connected with him and his word and the Holy Spirit, that's all you need. That's all you need. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to have one more caller. And last number, 6789. 6789. You are on the air. 6789. You listening in. All right, Sheila G and Dr. G, that whole lesson is giving us pause to really, you know, to what worthy of God and to pick up the cross and play our part.
Amen.
You know, that's the thing. Pick up the part, play our part, and God will do the rest.
Amen.
So we're grateful for that. Any last words I can do to close out in prayer?
Well, along that same term, you know, Friday, the leader spoke, and spoke from the topic, no cross, no crown.
Wow.
And I think that right there, you know, none of us are perfect, and you know the Bible teaches that there's none righteous but one. And as long as we are in these fleshly bodies, and you know we're in this mode of sin, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to be tempted. We're going to fall down. But the key is not to stay down.
There you go.
And you know we don't want to become so arrogant we think that we've arrived. You know. A lot of times with preachers and pastors, you know, we get these titles and, you know, folk are worshiping us and all that other stuff. But it's not about any of that. It's about living your life before men, but they can see that there's something different within you that makes others want to draw to the body of Christ. And, you know, we'll, as the callers, everyone said, we'll never be perfect in these bodies.
Right.
And that's why it's important that we keep the proper frame of mind, because everybody, you know, we're all going to have to stand before that judgment
seat. Oh, my goodness.
And it doesn't matter whether we think we're perfect or strive to be perfect, but we're all going to have to give an account of what we've done down here. And those terms that we use, well, Lord, you know my heart. You know, all that kind of stuff is going to be out the way. You can tell the Lord that if you want, and he'll cast to the lit fire just as quick as you can. But it's a matter of, I think you said, you know, we've got to make up in our own mind that we want to draw close to Christ every day. And the only way that you can do that, you got to study his word. You got to get to know him.
Amen.
You got to pray. You got to have that relationship with him. And no, you can't put anybody before the Lord, including yourself. And in that scripture that we read tonight, that made it so plain and clear.
Amen.
And with that, I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your heads. Eternal God, we come to see you, Lord, again tonight.
Yes,
thank you, Lord, for the evening that we've had a chance to your word and learn some things. Father, we thank you for bringing us to the studio. We thank you for those that called. We thank you for the privilege of spending time with you. And Lord, no, we're not worthy, but Lord, we thank you that you have made it all possible through grace. And Lord, if it had not been for grace, none of us would make it into the kingdom. Father, we pray right now that you would continue to walk with us and talk with us. And Lord, you steer us in the right direction. And when we do go off course, Lord, bring us back. Father, we thank you for chastisement. We thank you for loving us unconditional. Because sometimes we are just unlovable. Father, we pray right now that as we prepare to leave, that you would watch for us, that you would take us safely to our destiny. And find that all is there. Lord, we pray that if you will on tomorrow, that you would awaken us and this thing all over
yes,
again.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, come Sunday, if it's your will. We pray,
my
Lord, that when we gather over on Kirby Street,
yes, Lord,
we might lift you up and we might have a high time.
Yeah.
Lord, we want to be able to celebrate the goodness of our God. And know, Lord, that these 53 years of the church has not been in vain. And Lord, the 21 that I've served as pastor, I claim the victory right now. And we ask it all right now in the precious
name
of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it. Tonight, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.